Hey everyone, my name is Danilo Petrovic.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko, and you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. It was an incredible tournament, an incredible 2 weeks, and it was capped off by the Brits, Cam Norrie, Indian Wells champion. Ooh. 2021. Quite incredible performance. Went on to the early hours into a third set against Nicolas Basilashvili, and he finally got it done with a nice breadstick in that final set. Obviously, we have Paula Badoza. We covered that match last night in the against Azarenka. And what a match that one was. Both of the finals really, really lived up to the billing. And well done to both the winners.
The only disappointing part of it was being British. Watching Cam Norrie was pretty tough in Indian Wells. The timing didn't really accommodate. And I can't say I watched the whole match. In fact, the parts of the match I did watch, Basilashvili was leading. So it was... he won the first set, of course, and the second set, there was deep in it. I think it was like 4-4, and that's when I went asleep. And from that moment on, Cam Norrie stormed it. I don't think he lost a game. I think there was only one in the third because he did it. He breadsticked Basilashvili. And listen, I'm thrilled for the guy. For a change, I get my prediction right. If we wind back to the video, I did say Cam Norrie in three as well, which was spot on. So happy with that. And he didn't really bottle the big occasion. That was our big concern. We've seen him in finals this year, and he's not lived up to the bill. Granted, he's lost against some good players. I thought the Ramos-Vinolas one, he could have done a little bit better. Tsitsipas one, fair enough. But here, against Basilashvili, I just didn't want him to bottle this one because people would start calling it that, and then the pressure will start to mount in finals. But he managed to do it. He was the best player for me most of these 2 weeks. He's been beating people very comfortably, and he topped it off beating the informed man in Nicolas Basilashvili. Let's get some of the tweets up and see what they've been saying. Are you there, Robert? Not sure if Ben is there right now. Maybe he's having a few internet concerns. Mine seems to be all okay, so it could just be him having a few issues. We'll just wait a moment just for him to come back. But in the meantime, I'll just take you through, because I don't have anything shared myself. I'll take you through the match, which was, as I was saying, Basilashvili taking that first set 6-3. We had Cam Norrie then coming back, winning the second 6-4, and he won the third 6-1. Looking at the point by point, it went all the way deep in that second set. It made, I think it was 4-4. Cam Norrie then served with a game to love, and then he broke to love. So he won eight points in a row at 4-4. And from that moment on, was super, super dominant. So that's pretty amazing for him. I don't have the tweets, unfortunately, because I was planning on Ben to be doing it. So I'm just going to wait really for him to come back. We've got, Table Tennis in the chat saying Cam. And some of the reaction has been great in the UK. Like, obviously, Cam Norrie, he was born not in the UK. And there's been some people sort of claiming, should he be British? But he affiliates with the country. You saw him taking a photo in front of the GB flag. And he's just going to be more loved than ever now, because ultimately, the British people can be quite a tough crowd, especially if you lose it. But now he's starting to win some bits. Unfortunately, this is the way it is. People are going to jump on the bandwagon, and he's going to be a little bit more loved. So I'm happy in that regard. Maybe get some more eyes on tennis in Britain. And we've seen already a lot of the big sort of news publications in the UK, they've all been covering the story. It's been the front page news all over the place. I'm looking here right now. Cam Norrie. It's everywhere, yeah. Emma Raducanu inspired me, says rising star, British star Cam Norrie. I'm not sure about that. I think that's just a headline. But maybe it did a little bit. We can see now with Raducanu doing what she did at the US Open, now Cam Norrie winning what they call the fifth Grand Slam. I know a lot of people can argue that till the cows come home, but it is a huge tournament. It's a two-week tournament, and he's won it, which is just so great, really. It's just a phenomenal day for British tennis. We've got Andy Murray saying he heaps praise on Cam Nouri and labels him the new British number one as a great example. Of course, he is the British number one. He's risen to, I believe, 15 in the world, which is just astonishing. Right. And he's now put himself in the sort of discussion for the race to Turin as well, which is just another feat which he's been able to achieve all in this year. Because before this year, he was a bit wishy-washy on the tour. I didn't have much faith on him. But from pre-year to now, he's just a different player altogether.
Yeah, sorry about that. The internet just completely went. I had to and reset the router. I'm back again now. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. Well, I hear you talking about the race to Turin there. Should we go and have a look?
I've not gone through any of the tweets, man. I was just talking about some of the reaction. So,
okay.
Got, sort of the Radu Carney story about how it inspired him. Some people were saying, talking about Andy Murray, and just talking about how the British media have really sort of perceived him here. He was never really a love child of the British media, but now the sad reality is when someone wins, everyone's going to be all over it. And I think that's what's going to happen with him, which I think we just got to take the positives because we want more eyes on the sport, especially in the UK. And if this can help some of the grassroots tennis here, then that'll be great as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Calls, so. It's exciting though for British tennis that we thought, oh wow, we finally got someone to really cheer about in the women's side of the game. And now I know that Andy Murray, he's still on the tour, but he hasn't given us that much to cheer about. Cam Nouri looks like he's sort of started to fill those shoes. He's seen there's an opportunity there to cement himself as British number one. And he called it at the beginning of the year, like you said on the podcast, I think it was yesterday, saying Cam Nouri, he expected this to be his breakout year. And well done. What a premonition that was.
Yep.
And to cap it all off with this Indian Wells victory, I think it's just incredible. I don't think anybody saw it coming either. And I hope that now people who were doubting him, and that includes probably myself as well in that, I think we should all give him the respect he's due because he's worked damn hard this year to get to the level that he's at. And he's playing some incredible tennis. And it might seem a little bit defensive to some people, his style, but it's consistent. And that's the one thing that you need to get up the rankings. And we said it was Schwartzman, didn't we, when he was able to make the World Tour Finals. That was all from consistent tennis. But he's not the hardest hitter either. But he could have that same thing like Schwartzman did, I think. And he's doing it on the clay and now on hard courts. So
he seems to look more comfortable in the US, if I'm honest. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him going deep in, say, a US Open as well. So let's see what happens with that. A shout out to John in the chat, one of our patrons, saying Cam was looking unstoppable. I hope he maintains his level of play. I see no reason why he wouldn't. I think his style of play can be quite sustainable. It's not really a flash in the pan style, a bit like an Aslan Karatsev. If you compare the two, Cam Norris, I think, has a little bit more longevity. So let's see what the future brings for him. Moving on to the next tweet.
Yeah, even like a Basashvili, though, because his sort of style is very high-risk tennis.
It's not sustainable. Cam Norris is.
Yeah, exactly
right. You can see here, this is Jose Morgado tweeting some new career highs on the ATP Tour, the top 100. I believe that may be slightly incorrect. I feel like Norrie's number 15 in the world now. That's what I read earlier anyway. So maybe, I'm not sure what outlet's wrong, but he's definitely 15 or 16. He's made his top 20 debut. We've got Ruud Dees cracked the top 10. You've got Hurkacz in 10th as well. Sinner knocking on the door of the top 10 in 13th. That was obviously a big discussion point last year, whether Sinner can make the top 10 this year. Doesn't look like he's going to get there, but super close and really good effort from him. We've got Aslan there, 22nd, which is mental. You've got a few other big names, Korda. And if you want to go down, Ben.
Sure.
We've got some names which I love. I think Griekspoor, one we need to mention. He just won another final. No one can beat him on the challengers. I think it might even be 3 in a row. There's just a lot of green, maybe 4, I forget now. But he's just winning time and time again. Playing amazing. He's cracked the top 100, deserves to be there. We've got a really good button for him as well.
Yeah.
We've got Brooksby, another one who was way outside of it, now a massive threat. No one wants to play him on the hard courts. And yeah, just some other players really who have had a phenomenal year.
It's quite interesting. I'm just taking a look at the live rankings now. Obviously, we've got Edgar in there just saying that the rankings are a joke. Federer 11th. Well, this is going to be news to some people. Federer will be dropping points, it seems, and losing 500. Cam Norrie now overtakes Roger Federer into 14th in the world.
Okay, 14th. Wow.
Yeah, so that's just based upon points that are going to be dropped next, I believe. So... Yep. Fantastic for Cam Norrie, up to 14th, just behind Denis Shapovalov there. And I think he's got a good target. Those people are all in front of him. That is maybe one tournament, one good tournament away from overtaking maybe another four people. Yeah. So it's exciting, exciting times. Anyway, I'll move on to the next one here.
Yeah, so these are some of the movers, some of the names you've just mentioned, and you can see how impressive they've been. I think the one you have to really start with is Brooksby. We knew what he could do pre-injury. He did play at a US Open and beat, was it Burdich?
Yeah.
I think so. And then he was out the game for maybe a year, 2 years. We had the whole COVID pandemic. Now he's back. And I called it early on, in fact. I think it may have been, was it Roland Garros or a tournament this year?
Early.
And I was saying, watch out, he's going to be my whole qualifier to watch. Ever since then, just been rising and rising. We saw him have a fantastic match against Djokovic as well. And he's one you can't really ignore. He's up 240 places from the start of the year, more than anyone. You've got Alcaraz up 99. That's a pretty good number as well. And Karatsev, as we know, 90. So he's smashing it too.
Brilliant.
And Norrie there, 58. So he's one of the big movers as well.
Yeah, he's knocking on the door.
Probably more than that, 60s now, 60, isn't it?
60 now, yeah, and he'll be knocking on the door of the top 10 soon. As obviously you know, Casper Ruud, he's just done his best, got a few tournaments under his belt. Why can't Norrie do the same? I think that he could. If he gets big performance in Vienna or Paris, either one of those tournaments, he goes deep again, could easily break the top 10 here by the end of the year. Yeah. Fantastic. Right, on to the next. And this one is the race to Turin. As you can see there, Novak Djokovic, he's up the top, qualified. Daniil Medvedev, also qualified in second. Tsitsipas in third. Zverev, fourth. Rublev, is this the one? He hasn't qualified yet. And I think
Rublev has now, sorry.
I thought he had, to be honest, yeah.
I think he has, yeah.
Yeah, he has. And Berrettini has now, apparently, as well.
Okay.
He's now in, 4,000 apparently is enough. And the cutoff is 3,870 now.
Okay.
So
Rublev and Berrettini have qualified. And then you've just got a few names that's going to make up the rest. Casper Ruud, I feel like he's just one big tournament away from doing it. If he can go deep in Paris, I think that would be enough. And Rafa, we know he's not going to be there. So going on to the next page, these are some of the other names. Of course, you'd have to say Casper Ruud will be the favourite out of these. But out of these names, if you had to say pick, I don't want to keep going down, so we'll have a look at some of these. If you had to pick, say, two of these who have a good shot, who would it be? I think, I don't think any of them three there. You're going to hate me for this. I think Karatsev, for me, is one of who I would watch. And Norrie, out of all of them.
Yeah, I think Cam Norrie. I'd never rule out Hubert Hurkacz, though, because...
I think he might tail off towards the end of the year.
Maybe. He likes in America quite a lot, and obviously we don't have any more American tournaments coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he could tail off. Sinner is someone who could as well. Yeah.
That was one that we at the beginning of the year we were talking about. Could he sneak in there by the end of the year? He could well do. He's in with a chance. He's going to need a big tournament, though. He's going to need to go deep.
He is the number one seed as well, you've got to remember, in the European Open, so Antwerp. Yeah. So if Sinner is to do well there and, say, win that whole thing, then he puts himself right in contention as well.
Yeah.
He'll probably be on the other side of this.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got a chance. But I think, like you said, Norrie, consistent tennis is going to be the key here. He's definitely in with a chance, especially now coming back to Europe as well. I think he's going to quite relish it. He might get a chance to come back. He'll have a lot of people like singing his praises back in the UK. He'll have a lot of confidence now as well. When you win one of those big tournaments, it comes with a bit of pressure, but also you now realize that you're a Masters champion and you can beat the best of the best, really. So do not rule him out. I think Norrie could be a lot of people's dark horse to sneak in there.
One thing I do want to say about Norrie as well, which I think is amazing, is his ability to beat someone quickly. We've seen so many times this tournament, he can win a quick set. So yeah, obviously in that final against Basasvili, that last one was a 6-1. Before against Dimitrov, the first one was a 6-2. And against Tommy Paul in the third, it was a 6-2. Diego Schwartzman, take your pick. You can have either of them. It was a bagel and a 6-2. And then Tennis Sandgren was a bagel as well at the start. So he just has that ability to beat someone very quickly as well, which is a bit like an Emma Raducanu. He can, when he turns it on, he sort of whitewashes an opponent rather quick. And before they know it, they've lost the set.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just think Cam Norrie, that performance he put on last night, I just thought it was really impressive. Like you said, with the fast pace that he puts on people, that can be a bit of a shock.
Under pressure.
Yeah, definitely. Someone like Basashvili, who probably has to reload a little bit, charge up the afterburners to hit these 90-mile-an-hour, 100-mile-an-hour winners, to do that for three sets straight must be tough. And Cam Norrie, as you were saying, you keep on pointing it out. And as I was watching it, the back end of that second set, it was just becoming a little bit, he was engulfing him by just going, right, my turn to serve. Whoop, boom, right, now on to the next one. Whoop, whoop, boom, next one. Whoop. And then Basashvili sort of, I don't know, the odd one was going in, but there was a lot of starting to fly out towards the end of the set and that second set.
He rushed him, took his rhythm, and Norrie ended up winning. The other match, let's move over to the women's. Yeah. This was a little bit different. We've got one more. I didn't realise we had one more. So this one's quite a fascinating one, actually. I did send it to you as a bit of a joke. But we've got, I forget who tweeted it, but they're saying Bastian, saying it was actually a predictable win for Cam Norrie. People saying that they could have predicted it. If you look at the 91 champion, it was a 26th seed, Courier. If you add 9 years to that, in year 2000, it was a 26th seed, Correggia. You add 10 years to this, so we're going up one each time. Yeah. We've got Lubicic. You add 11, so we're in 2010 right now, to get to 2021. And there we go, Cam Norrie. he wins the whole thing. That's some wild numerology there. And by my maths, that means 2034... 2033, the 26th seed is going to win Indian Wells. So make sure whatever money you have, you put it on the 26th seed to win Indian Wells in 2033.
I wonder who that's going to be. That's going to be interesting to find that one out.
Oh, I don't think we'll know. Do you reckon it'll be someone playing right now?
Maybe it'll be somebody who has got to the top and is dropping back off again.
Okay.
I think that could happen.
You'd have to be pretty young.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe somebody who starts to push up.
Could be
up.
An Alcaraz. I'm not joking.
I didn't want to say that.
It could be a 26th seed in 12 years' time.
Who knows? It's possible. He could just be a number one seed as well, though.
Yeah.
Got to remember that.
But anyway, let's move on to the women's because we've done the men's. And this was a very different final. Of course, it's one we covered. And the standard was super high from both ladies.
So good.
In fact, it was a hard one to call. I don't know who was better. I thought Badoza played the bigger points slightly better, but it was just that every single moment we was struggling with our predictions. We were struggling really to make any kind of analysis on what was happening because we were just sort of gobsmacked by the quality. I felt Azarenka just found so many lines and Badoza just hit so many winners. It was just a fascinating match to watch. Azarenka, 30 love up, serving for the match, 2 points away to make history and win Indian Wells three times. Wasn't able to do it. Badoza fought to the death. We had issues with the stream right at the end. It all cut off as we're trying to watch match point, which was an absolute nightmare. Yeah. But we didn't even get a match point, I don't think, at the end because Badoza broke her, made it 5-5, and just was amazing. She really was. I'm so pleased for Paola Badoza. It was an emotional roller coaster, and both these ladies know how to put on a match. I loved every minute of it. And you can see there, the points won. Azarenka actually won more points, 133 versus 124. And that's the first time in the Indian Wells Women's Final that a player who's won the least amount of points has won. Since 2006 or earlier.
Wow, that's just incredible, really, when you think about it. But that second set, it was all down to that. Obviously, Badoza having to win two tie breaks. And in between that, we ended up with a 6-2. And Azarenka just sort of stormed that second set. She wanted to get straight back into it and try and win the third. And she looked great in the second set. Badoza luckily reset. I just thought the incredible thing about the match was the amount of break points. There was 30 break point opportunities in total in the match, which I know it sounds a lot and it sounds like, wow, what the hell were they doing? The standard was that high. We were at deuce. I think I counted at one point where we had 9 deuces and there were never a quick one. And never were just one deuce and we're gone. There were about at least 3-4 back and forth.
Apart from the second set.
Yeah. The second set, it was just an anomaly. It just went, boom, like pretty quick, didn't it? It was, she just wanted to get it back 30 minutes. And the first set, an hour and 20. And the last set, an hour and 13. So a fantastic final, though. And Azarenka, I mean, hats off to her. She really made that competitive. It was on a knife edge. Anybody else, I think, she probably would have won.
Would you say she's a bit unlucky to have lost that final the way she played?
Yes, definitely.
Ultimately, it was just two tie breaks what Badoza was able to get. I thought it was close. If I had to be brutally honest, I know we were both supporting Badoza. I thought Azarenka just edged it, but marginally. It's really hard to choose, but it doesn't mean anything, does it? Because Badoza was the champion and she ended up raising the trophy. First Spanish lady to do so. And she's having a real breakout year because before this year, we didn't see much from her. But she's been amazing, going deep in a lot of tournaments. Watch out next year. Let's see how far she can go. Maybe she could be knocking on the door of the top 10.
Indeed. And we got Jose Morgado tweeting out there saying Badoza will be ranked number 11. That was obviously yesterday, saying tomorrow, and looks on her way to Guadalajara as well. Obviously, that's where the World Tour finals are being held now. Obviously, the China Shenzhen, that one has been cancelled due to COVID reasons and moved over to Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, you see there, and what the emotion at the end. It was just lovely to see her running up into the box, and just, I don't know, just one of those. It was like an end of a Grand Slam, literally, wasn't it? That's what it had, that feeling. And I think she just deserved this. Some of the shots, even though we're saying, Azarenka, she probably played the better tennis. She was gritty, more determined. Some of the shots Badoza hit as winners in this match were astonishing. She really has firepower that can blast any of the other female athletes off the court. And I've been excited to see her do something big all year. And I thought it might be a slam. It's not been a slam, but it's pretty close winning Indian Wells. So next year, who knows? Maybe that is the year. We'll wait and see. We'll let you know in our predictions at the end of the year how we think it's going to go, won't we?
Yeah, and talking of predictions, we actually got this one spot on for a change. We both predicted Badoza to win this match, which she did.
Yes.
So I'm pretty happy with my final preview video, which we did, because I got both the winners. And Badoza, I'm just super pleased that she was able to do it, because there was a few times when I thought it was a bit out of reach and I gave up slightly, but she certainly didn't. You can see a little exchange here between the two of them, what I thought was quite funny. Badoza, they're saying, thank you, Vika. You made me better today. Such an inspiration for me since I started this game. Thanks for all you have done for this sport. And Azarenka, they're saying, rematch next year?
Well, don't put it past her. I think Azarenka's not going anywhere soon. The fact that she's just still there at the top of the game.
Just hunger, man. I kept talking about it on the stream.
Yeah.
For someone who's won so much as her, and she is a Hall of Famer, she's a legend of the sport. No one can take that from her. does she, what more does she have to prove? What gets out of bed every day to keep playing tennis? Why does she still have this drive? And only she can answer it, but it's definitely there because she has it in abundance. I can see her going, I can see her maybe win another slam, if I'm honest, next year. Doesn't look like she's letting up anytime soon and just getting better and better. I thought the standard of tennis in this final, you could probably say, was one of the best women's finals we've watched all year.
Definitely. I'm trying
to pick my brains of better ones. It's got to be up there. I'm not going to say it was the best, but top five for me this year, definitely.
I mean, it was just dramatic. And I think that was the one thing in this final that some of the others maybe haven't given us was just, it was back and forth and dry. I know we had this spectacle at the US Open. That was great, but it wasn't as competitive. This was just so competitive. And no one would have been able to tell. If they told you they knew who was going to win that final set tiebreak, they'd have been a liar. That's the truth of the matter, because it was that close. Either player, I mean, if you could give them both a trophy, I would have done, but you can't. Yeah. Badoza, she just proved she just had that little bit extra. It was that Spanish fire just in that final bit. Brilliant to see. And Azarenka, well, look at how classy she is in defeat. It didn't, yeah. And even there on court, she wasn't like really
super
upset.
Super classy. She's a model sports lady and someone who everyone can look up to. On Badoza and her run, we have spoke about it a lot, but you have to just keep talking about it because it is phenomenal. These are the players she beat on her way to winning Indian Wells. And she beat a lot of these in straight sets. So these ones, they're all straight sets. Coco Gauff, Krejcikova, Angelique Kerber, and then Ons Jabeur. Obviously, she did win two others, one against Azarenka in the final and Yastremska, where she did drop sets. But them names are just sort of the creme de la creme.
Yeah, I think that she, and especially the conditions, were sort of suiting some of the other players she played as well. They were saying it was slow conditions. She played Krejcikova. You thought that would probably be ideal for her. Nope, straight sets.
Same with Kerber as well. I thought it would suit her. And Ons Jabeur, she was looking super comfortable and blitzing everyone. The drop shots weren't working against Badoza. I feel like she did lose a bit of pace in her ground strokes on Jabeur. I'm not sure why. Watching that, but I'm always going to stick up for her, regardless of that. Badoza did deserve it, and she adjusted her game plan. It seemed every single match she had a plan. She executed it perfectly, and she is the deserved champion.
Definitely, Badoza. Now she moves up to number 13 in the world in the live rankings. Obviously, we were seeing Jose Morgado saying that she obviously is having. The race, she's going to be 11th, I believe. I'll just confirm.
No, I think that's 11th in the world, was it not? Did he say?
Oh, no. So she's 8th in the race to Guadalajara, it's saying, at the moment. So she's just behind Garbiñe Muguruza now. So well done to her. And
I think he was saying the actual ranking, she's 11th.
It says 13th here, but maybe there's going to be some people dropping off some points and stuff coming up. So you never know. He's normally ahead of the game, Jose. So we'll trust what he says for sure. I think just if we're going to summarize it, mate, I think it was just an amazing 2 weeks of tennis. We had so many highlights. The one day we didn't manage to cover any tennis seemed that lots of players suddenly started dropping out of the tournament. Zverev was out. Tsitsipas was out. Yeah. Dimitrov had a great tournament. Fritz, he was another standout person in this tournament as well.
Even Basashvili as well. Just don't ignore him. The other finalist, credit to him. He played a brilliant tournament, beating some big guys along the way. And I think it all sort of sets us up nicely for the battle now. That all the talk really... for me, won't be on necessarily Paris. I think more talk for me is going to be on the race. Everyone's fascinated who can qualify for the race. We've got a few of them. Obviously, we've got the next gen tournament, which is going to be happening. And then after that, we've also got the WTA race to Guadalajara and the men's one too in Turin.
We do indeed. I think it's only fitting with this that we finish up. If I can pull up all the details, I can only see that we've got the ATP one on here, unfortunately, on this version, but we can read it out. Obviously, the winner of our fantasy brackets, both of the winners winning $100 each. Well done to whoever managed to win these. I'm just going to bring up, I can get the men's one up for some reason on here. It's not bringing it up. Maybe you can bring up the women's one whilst and read it out, because this one I can put up on the screen, which is great. But I'll have to let Tennis know that I can't actually share the other one. But this one, I will show you who won the men's draw, which is super exciting. Let's, here we go. The winner is, can you read that? I'll go in a bit closer. There you go.
The winner is Murray 97. So congratulations, Murray 97. You smashed it. You won the whole thing. I know you had Tsitsipas winning it, but you didn't need to in the end. You just did just enough. You had the wrong British guy come to the semi-finals. Didn't even get any of these, but you must have smashed out all of the other rounds, because you are the champion. And Murray 97, you will be winning $100. So shout out to you, mate. You deserve it. And the next one on the women's, I know we don't have this for you. I don't have my phone. I can't seem to find it either.
That's all right.
If you can just read it out, we'll announce the women's one as well. Who's also going to be winning $100. And if people are interested in getting involved in some of these tournaments and competitions against us in Game to Love and all the community, we're not going to do prizes for the next one, but we're going to try and bring some prizes towards the end of the year. So make sure to join the Game to Love League on the Tennis app. You can download it on Android or iPhone. The link is in the description. It's completely free to download the app. You hit Browse Leagues and join and look for Game to Love. And you'll see it in there. I think we've got almost 200 people in there as well.
Can you see it on here? So the winner is... typical, it would start loading when I should do that. It's called Major Ice Water is the name. So I don't know if you can see it there. Yep. Number one.
So number one, 97, is Major Ice Water. So well done to Major Ice Water. Some ice cool picks from him. And smashed it on that side as well. So there are two champions. You're both going to be winning $100. Try and get in contact with us and we can arrange the money to be sent across to you guys. And well done for doing a lot better than what we did. I think in terms of me and Ben, I think I beat him on the women's and he beat me on the men's. I've not checked though. That's just off the top of my head. I know I was like 15th on the women, so I don't think you was that high.
I was 35th on that. And then on the men's side, maybe I can bring it up and then I might be able to actually see view leaderboard. Here we go. We can see between us, and I'm not sure if anyone's interested in where we're finishing, but we'll tell you anyway. I was 29th and you were 117th.
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a mare. I didn't do great on the men's, but I did all right on the women's.
You did well on the women's, to be fair. Yeah. You're up there quite close to the top, so can't win them all, though. So at least we got one apiece. I'm a little happy that I at least got ahead of you on one of them. That's it.
Yeah, exactly that, mate. We'll wrap it up here, though. We do have other tournaments going on. We'll try and probably bring some coverage and a roundup towards the end of the week. We've got Antwerp, the European Open. We've had the first round there today. We've got some tournaments going on in Russia as well, the Kremlin Cup, and we've got also a WTA event in Tenerife.
Yeah, we do indeed. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated a bit later on in the week with some of those results roundup. And maybe if we get some time, we might even be able to cover a match as well towards the end of the week.
For sure. We'll try and do a match or two. But anyway, well done to Cam Norrie. He's flying the flag. Really happy for him. If you haven't already, hit the like button on the video. Subscribe if you're new. And we'll see you very soon for some more Game to Love action.
See you later, guys.
Join the Patreon. Challenge JG's on there as well.
Yeah, always remember.